Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. If you graduated from college, most likely you took some sort of art appreciation class. It would involve seeing paintings and sculptures, maybe listening to some music. I remember being in a college class in Long Beach State and really enjoying. The fine arts chairman was actually in charge of the class, and it was really an enjoyable class. And I think it was the first time I really got involved in the cultural, those types of things. But it wasn't until I got to the seminary and met Armin Mullering, who some of you know, because he was sort of hanging around the church when Blessed Savior came into being, one of the professors at the Sem, also called Red Mullering by his friends. He really got my attention. He could do chapel services, and he'd have art pictures up all the time. And of course, some of the professors that believe that spoken word is the only thing that you can preach with. But Armin just had his own heart to God, and he just brought some really amazing things to us. In the Prado Museum in Spain, you'll find this stunning masterpiece, and I think we have a picture of it there. Hopefully it's the lamb first, right? Not that one. That one. It's a painting by the 17th Spanish artist Francisco de Zurbarán. My apologies for if I haven't pronounced this incorrectly. Painted it from 1635 to 1640, and it's called the Agnus Dei. That's Latin for Lamb of God. The painting is quite simple, as you can see, a woolly lamb lying on its side on a gray slab. And as we observe the picture, the lamb is facing the left. He has elegantly curved horns, and all of his four feet are bound together above the fetlock with two strands of cord. Now, for those of you who are not animal anatomy proficient, the fetlock is that little area just above the hoof, and the cords are tied just above that. You might have noticed, too, that you don't see the knot. We'll talk about that later. With his feet tied together, the lamb's back is elevated as he lies on the slab. His left eye, the only one we can see, is open. Pale eyelashes delicately line his eye. We can see that the lamb is looking down past his pink nose at the gray slab. There's no blood in the painting, so the lamb is alive. But the lamb won't be alive for long. Still life paintings of the 17th century rarely display emotion, but there is definitely emotion here. The lamb shows emotion of resignation. You notice he's not trying to struggle to free himself. He's not bleeding for his very life. This lamb is ready to die. Light shines down on the lamb from the upper left so that only a little shadow is thrown. Beyond the light that bathes the lamb, it's all dark, very, very dark. Exodus 12 is all about the Agnus Dei, the Lamb of God. Exodus 12, verses 3 through 5 tell us, "Tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. The animals you choose must be year-old males without defect. The Passover lamb must be male. He must be perfect. He can't be crippled, lame, spotted, or off color. And after choosing the lamb, the people are to guard and watch over it for 3 days. And then on the 14th day of the month, the entire community of Israel is to gather at twilight." What happens next? They slaughter the lamb. And then what? Verse 7 continues. Then they are to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and tops of the door frames of the houses where they eat the lambs. The blood of the lamb will set the people free, free from the darkness and death of Egypt. Look again at the Agnus Dei. The black background serves to highlight the lamb's white wool. Here's a lamb that's perfect. It's without defect. The dark background, though, does something else. It also highlights the reason the lamb was slaughtered. Luther famously called it incuvatus in se, which is another Latin phrase, simply means turned in on oneself. In our darkness, we turn toward our own interests, our own desires, our own needs, and our own agendas. Call it individualism, call it narcissism, but whatever you call it, you must call it exactly what it is. It is sin. Sin is dark, very, very dark. To turn outwards toward God and toward other people is too risky. You know this. I might get hurt or disappointed and frustrated. It's better and it's much safer to turn in towards oneself. So we live in this tight, fetal position, and it leads us to, isolation, disconnectedness, and despair. Sin, incurvatus in se, it seduces us, it traps us, and then it kills us. Art has a way of taking us out of our world into the world of imagination. People often like to dream as they look through the paintings and look into this world. You know, as they would look at The Starry Night by Vincent van Gogh and just wonder what it would be like to walk through such a night. Or to listen to the whispers of the Mona Lisa by Da Vinci. But what could we do? What would we do if we could enter Zurbaran's masterpiece, Agnus Dei? The impulse for us is, let's untie it. Let's let him loose. Allow him to go free. He looks so innocent, so kind, so loving. He doesn't deserve to die. Remember the knot? It's out of sight. Why is that? What's going on here? The knot is out of sight because the lamb can't be free. There's nothing we can do for this lamb. The lamb must be slaughtered because his blood alone can set us free. Verse 13 says, "The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood," God speaking, "I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt." The lamb's blood again flowed in Gethsemane when, as Luke tells us, Jesus was in such agony he sweat great drops of blood. You can bet that when the Roman soldiers blindfolded Jesus and began punching him in the face, there was some more blood. And blood flowed from his scalp as the crown of thorns was shoved onto his head. But the real bloodbath was at Gabbatha. This was the stone bench, the place where Pilate would make his judgments, before whom our Savior was stripped naked and whipped without mercy. Blood continued to flow from his open wounds as he carried his cross piece on the Via Dolorosa, more Latin, sorry, meaning the way of sorrow. Some of you may have even been in Jerusalem and traveled on that way. And then there were the three nails and the final blow, a spear which pierced the heart and out flowed blood and water. The Agnus Dei inspired another masterpiece, a marble sculpture. It was created by Stefano Maderno, a 17th century Italian sculptor, and it's called Saint Cecilia. You can see it on the screen. Tradition tells us that Cecilia was a young Christian woman who had dedicated her life to God, and for that reason was martyred. Maderno draws on Zurbaran's unique capacity to reproduce textures. You see, a very calculated and directed light creates a broad areas of shadow. It helps us to concentrate our attention on Saint Cecilia. She, like the lamb, is lying down. She, like the lamb, has her arms tied together. She, like the lamb, is resigned to God's will in her life. There is one more connection between Agnus Dei and Saint Cecilia. Do you see it? The connection? It's probably the most important connection of all. The woman is white. White. Pure white. And this is not a statement about race, but about innocence and purity and cleanliness. Saint Cecilia is all white, just like the lamb. What's the point? The point is she was washed clean by the blood of the lamb. And my friends, so are we. Christ shed his blood for us too. By faith, we are washed clean in the blood of Jesus Christ. It's the only way to free us from the eternal darkness, our incurvatus in se. And in the end, in the very end, blood was all that Jesus had. His disciples had deserted him. His garments had been gambled away. Even his father had turned his back on him. Blood was all he had, but the blood of Jesus is all we need. The blood of Jesus is all we need. Amen.